Welcome to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Dialing up the latest tactics and hottest trends, we're here to help you take your B2B game from stagnant to stellar.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Marianne, and together we're ready to answer your burning B2B sales and marketing questions.
Each episode, we'll tackle a need-to-know topic in the ever-evolving world of B2B sales and marketing. We'll break it down with actionable takeaways you can implement right away.
And because you don't get results without real talk, we're wrapping up every show with a quick Q&A segment. So fire away with your burning questions.
Whether you're a seasoned sales leader or a marketing veteran, the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline is your one-stop shop to take your B2B efforts to the next level. Hello, Marianne.
Hello, hello. We are back for another episode, and today we're going to be talking about onboarding to HubSpot, which is a critical part of anyone's new software experience. So I'm excited to discuss.
And something that we think about literally constantly. We are always constantly thinking about customizing this for our clients, thinking about the best way to do this, continuing to improve our processes and our customers' experience. So
yes,
so much fun to get to talk about it today.
Absolutely. And we have a very, we've done a lot of onboardings. We've done the trials and learned the mistakes over the years. And I feel like now we're in a place where we're really doing very
efficient,
quick, but effective onboardings. And we're really in like a groove with it. And I'm excited to just talk through our process for onboarding, how we have found it works best, and just, just like all things onboarding today. Okay, so I'll start us off with, and we can kind of go back and forth on the timeline, what we typically do for onboarding. But I'll kick us off by saying, we start with discovery. We cannot set up a portal. We cannot effectively set up a HubSpot portal without understanding the business. HubSpot could be used in any industry ever for absolutely anything. HubSpot is not a one-size-fits-all tool. It needs to be customized. The out-of-the-box HubSpot is maybe going to work for your business, but probably not.
And how many, let's just say, Emily, because you're on a lot of calls with people who are curious about onboarding, potentially buying HubSpot, how many times do you talk to people who have purchased HubSpot, thought they could do it on their own, didn't realize how much customization it needed, or gone to an agency where they don't have any personal relationship, they don't have any customization, they don't do discovery to understand the business, and they just set it up like a box.
Every other person.
And it is wrong. I mean, I feel like that's more than half the people that we talk to or need help with this. It's not just people who automatically know that they need all of this. It's that they're trying to do it an easier way, and it ends up becoming much harder.
Yeah. I mean, investing in the software is step one, but then setting up the software to fit your business needs is a critical step too, because otherwise the software is just never going to, I use this analogy a lot, but I'll say the analogy. It's like if you bought a budgeting app for your family, like you purchased every dollar or you need a budget or any of those budgeting apps. Like, let's say you went to the app store and you bought it and you even spent the $200 a year or whatever it costs. You did it. Now you're going to budget. Like, you have to go in. You have to set up your family's spending habits. You have to set up the folders. You have to be the one to set up the budget, or you could pay someone else to do that, right? So someone would come in, they would ask you lots of questions about your family. They would look through your past spending. They would recommend to you the types of budget folders you should have and how you should be spending to meet your goals. That's exactly what HubSpot is. You can spend the money on HubSpot, but that alone is not going to increase revenue, improve sales performance, increase ticket responses on your service team. Right. Like, it's not going to do that alone.
And to continue that analogy, you could buy the software and then just out of box. Okay, go to ChatGPT and say, how much should I be spending on my housing, my food, and my car, and take that budget and put it in yours. But when you work with somebody like LeadG2, and like how we like to do onboarding for clients is understanding and getting to know them and their business, and then setting it up for them in their business.
Yes.
How does your family operate with your budget? Where do you live? You know, all those type of questions, and then set it up accordingly and not just say, this blanket setup applies to all. So,
right.
So first step, discovery is huge.
Discovery, coming in, asking lots of questions, not just about what you're currently doing, but what your hopes and dreams are, what you expect your sellers to do that they're not doing right now. We're going to come in and ask those types of questions, which we already have prepared and ready to ask you. And then after that, we will take those answers and recommend a setup that will meet your business needs.
And then we do that with a recommendation sheet. So you will get to see and understand and approve how we recommend moving forward with your life cycle, all the things. And then we start the actual portal setup, the foundation. Step one is really all of that foundational stuff, right? I mean, step one is discovery. The implementation part, the first thing we do is portal setup foundation. So users, who's going to be using this? What type of permissions do they have? I mean, for better or for worse, HubSpot as permissioning is the most intricate thing I've ever seen in my life. You can have anybody do any specific thing and only that one specific thing. I mean, it is very complex permissioning. So setting up your users, your permissions, all of your core settings. We call it in our process, the portal setup and foundation, because it is like the foundation of a house, you know, here we go. That is day, Emily. But like, if HubSpot's the house, this is like putting in the plumbing, putting in the wiring. Like you can't just move the furniture in and import all of your contacts and assume that it's going to work for you. You have to lay in that foundation. So we call it the foundation. We set up all of that, based on our discovery. So that would be step two.
Step two. Okay, so step three, we have that foundation laid, everything is in there, and now we help HubSpot speak your language, right? So this is where we're coming in. We're importing all of your clean client lists, your clean company lists. We're importing any deals. We're building out those sales stages and putting the deals in those sales stages. We're really getting the actual portal set up to have your company's data in it. So now we've laid that foundation, we have everything set up, and now we're putting in your information so that your team can use it.
And that's kind of the match on that recommendation sheet that we deliver to you after the discovery. So that's where you'll really see a lot of that matching, the deal stages, the like sales pipeline, lifecycle stages, all of that customization.
Yep, totally. Yes.
And then it kind of continues, I would say, step four. Step four is really automation, but also continuing to customize those properties and the dashboards. And then the fun part, right? Workflows to create automation for your business so you don't have to manually do everything. I think that's kind of one of the biggest selling points of HubSpot. When people get the demo, they're like, wow, I can't believe all that can happen automatically based on different triggers. And so we can go in and set that part up for you. The layouting, the follow-up sequences, the marketing nurturing campaigns, lots of automation can be turned on.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, I love that you said like lead routing and things like that, because automation stems far past just outbound automation, but you can do internal team member automation. So, you know, say something goes to closed one and now it needs to go to like a success manager, or say a deal hasn't been followed up on in a while. Do we need to alert them that it's been 30 days or whatever? We can create those automations and actually put in, we can put in automated workflows to solve things that your team, that you fear your team may not follow up on.
Right.
We can like put in the pieces to make sure everything is followed up on and fast.
Right.
Yep. And then the one of the last, okay. So this is the second to last thing is training, which is so critical and so key. And I do think that our team does this exceptionally well. We are all HubSpot certified trainers. We've all been in HubSpot for so long and really have grown with the tool. And we use HubSpot ourselves too. I mean, as an agency, we use HubSpot. So we love to teach. We are passionate about teaching and finding solutions for every business's need, and training team members, holding hands, making sure that we are leaving the onboarding phase in a place where every seller knows how to wake up in the morning and log in to HubSpot and go to the critical places and see the key prospects they need to follow up on first. And, you know, we want to make sure that everyone, marketing, sales, service, whoever you are, you feel comfortable using the tool. Not now, you know, we'll talk about the ongoing support, Marianne, I'll get to that next, but you know, we can help ongoing wise for sure. This training is really just making sure that you know the foundational piece. And then HubSpot, I mean, you could learn. I'm still learning HubSpot every single day. So, I mean, it's critical to have ongoing training and support as well. But that initial like training session is something that we pride ourselves in. We're really good at it. And it helps, teams just now we've spent all this time and all this money getting the tool set up. Now we ought to make sure it's used.
You know how to work it. Yeah. Okay. And also, let's just be honest with our friends here, why we know this. Yes, we've done it a long time, but we have seen it done well and seen it gone awry.
Yes.
And we have seen where our trainings didn't land with sellers, and we have really improved our processes and understood we know how to connect with sellers to get them, right? Yeah. And then connecting with managers separately. It really has become a fine-tuned process for us, but it's tricky. And a lot of times clients come in with what they imagine to be the best way to do it. And we have to have the hard conversation to tell them what we know to be the best way to do it. It's not necessarily something that you just pick up in one day. So it has to be a very systematic, planned training agenda and schedule. And we have gotten that down. And that is a huge part of this.
Yes. And it's
set it all up and make sure that people understand how to use it and are dipped in the right way. Because not everyone, we know, not everyone's as techie as we are. Not everyone's as curious about learning a new tool as our team is. And other HubSpotters are, right? So working with different levels of engagement and teaching the tool to different levels is something that we have really mastered.
And that's also something that, I mean, I work in the sales process a lot too, in addition to the client services side of things, but I like to make sure that when I'm in the sales process talking with whoever it is that's going to be going through onboarding, that I'm understanding, you know, how many sellers are we talking about? How many different groups of people? And that way, you know, when we go into onboarding, it's not cookie cutter. I might recommend we come in market for your team, or we should do more training or less training. If you have an internal resource, you might be doing training. But I think the training is if not the setup is probably the first most important thing, but training is definitely the second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then after we train, it's launch and support, right? So once everything's live, we like to stay in close contact to make sure to answer questions, to troubleshoot issues, make small adjustments to really perfect the way that you're using it so you can actually get value immediately.
Yeah.
That always goes different ways, right? I think that we do training well, and so people feel very confident. And then things happen, right? Like we're all like things pop up. And so making sure that you have that launch support ongoing is also really important. And so wherever you go with your, and HubSpot's good at it too. You could always go to HubSpot and ask questions. They're not as great at answering things that are about customization, but they have a great support team too. So, you know, both HubSpot and your agency should work hard to make sure that you are continuing to use the tool to the best of your abilities and know how to learn how to manage it for yourself too, and make those tweaks and understand it.
Yep. Yeah. I would say with like the training and the adoption overall, I call it like change management. I feel like it's like a key piece of what we do. And I think this is kind of random and a little bit off topic, but it made me think about it, you know, making sure that when you're, thinking about adoption and change management, it's all about the leaders. And I think we've done a couple of couple podcast episodes on this before, but the leaders need to be all in, bought in, but it's key to how to position it, right? So like positioning it as a like big brother tool that's watching your every move, you're going to have a harder time. You're going to have resistance to the tool. But if you position it as you're investing in your sales team or your marketing team or your service team to have more success and move faster and get more done and have an easier time at their job, I always find adoption goes better.
And Kim, like we just tell everyone listening, we've seen so many CRMs, and honestly, I believe most CRMs were built for the manager, so there could be Big Brother looking in. And I am here to tell you, HubSpot really is built for the user. It does help salespeople. And I find salespeople like it so much when they use it, much more than other CRMs. I think CRMs can have a bad rap for being like another to-do for salespeople. But I just don't think that's the case with HubSpot. I think it's so user-friendly, and there's so many sales tools built within that it really helps salespeople. So that's not just a marketing pitch. That is true.
I agree. I totally agree. Yeah. If you're going to move to any CRM, there's going to be an adoption phase for sure. The HubSpot, I hope, will have an easier adoption phase for you.
Totally. Okay. Awesome. I love it. This is so important to us. We love talking about HubSpot onboarding. And if any of you are curious to learn more, definitely give us a call. We want to talk about it more, and we work hard to serve our clients and get people up and using HubSpot every single day. So
I will say, even if you already have HubSpot and you just feel like the first steps were missed, we're still here to help. We work all the time, I'm actually right now doing like an onboarding 2.0, with a client who didn't feel like their initial onboarding was sufficient enough. So, even if you're already in the tool, even if your sellers are your marketing team and everyone's already expected to be in the tool, we can still do onboarding for you. We can still, revise and do some change management.
And also like adding different hubs. I mean, a lot of people use two of the hubs and add a third and need onboarding for that. So, all of those make sense. Okay. Should we move into Q&A?
Do it. Yep.
Okay. First question from our last episode is, hey, Marianne and Emily, we know our customers' personas need work, but we're not sure where to start. What's the first step to building effective personas for our B2B efforts?
Do you want me to start? I always say with like personas, and I think our agency does a really good job in general of all feeling this way, but you have to look at the data. I think looking at your best customers, the ones you want more of, and understanding who they are, what they like, looking at them, why they came into the market to purchase your services or your product, really understanding them. And then building personas off of those people. Because if you're talking about your target personas, you should be looking at the people that you want more of, your very best customers.
Right. I agree. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, second question is, we're having trouble standing out at trade shows and events. What are some strategies we can use to make a bigger impact?
We talk about this all the time. We do this all the time. I'm currently in the process of working with our marketing I feel so passionate about this. I actually just posted about it on LinkedIn, but I think I see all the time people like put this in a line item in their budget for an event to go to, and then waste money because they don't actually do anything to generate revenue. They just go and they do nothing while they're there except for like mingle, and then they leave, and there's no pre-event marketing. There's not any during event marketing, you know, like having a QR code where people can go and fill out a form, and you know,
expensive networking is what it's being if you don't have a marketing plan around it. The before and the after are more important than the actual being there. It's like, how are you communicating with this list of people?
Yeah. And if you go to the event and you're not given a list, like say you don't like sponsor it or whatever, you're not actually given a list, find a way to collect names, right? So like find a way to capture information from a form, find ways to give out, because just collecting business cards, you're not You could do that. You could collect business cards. People don't really carry business cards anymore. So you're going to be like writing their information down on a piece of paper. So I would find a way to convert them on a form, right? So like having some kind of giveaway or some kind of something to get them to your website and to fill out a form and get them into your CRM and then nurture them, nurture the heck out of them.
Nurture the heck out of them.
Nurture the heck out of them.
That's what I would say. Perfect answer. I agree.
And if you're going to an event and you need marketing, reach out. Call, give us a quick
call. This is what we do now, actually. Do we do this?
We call.
Okay, thank you all so much for listening. Please connect with us. You can find our contact info in the show notes. And be sure to send us questions. We love the Q&A at the end of all of these episodes. So record a voicemail, send a text, send an email. We collect questions in all the ways.
Yes.
We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Don't forget to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And if you've got a question for us, head to the show notes and let us know what's on your mind.
And visit our website, leadg2.com, where you can find even more helpful B2B sales and marketing resources.